This is Get a Real Job, the podcast devoted to people who choose risk over safe bets, who pursue their passion against all odds and are doing what they want, how they want, despite people and sometimes the voices in their own heads telling them they're nuts.
When the field that I wanted to work in didn't exist, I created it.
The only thing you have to decide is how hard do you want to work.
I really never went into the design of the restaurant of not succeeding. One way or another, I was going to succeed.
I'm your host, Dan Bova, editorial director of Entrepreneur.com. Thanks for listening. And now, get a real job. Hello, and thanks for tuning in once again to Get a Real Job. Very, very brief word about what you're about to listen to. So this conversation was actually recorded before the pandemic. Yes, there was a time before the pandemic. As you will hear, the sound quality of my voice is not fantastic on this recording, and I was trying to find a way to fix it, and in the fixing of the problem, this file actually got lost for a very long time. Found it again on the old desktop buried beneath a million things, and was sad that this conversation hasn't been out yet, because it was really cool. I was talking with Robin Dreeke, who is a veteran FBI agent who wrote a book called Sizing People Up, a veteran FBI agent's user guide for behavior prediction. It's really cool. Robin had all kinds of amazing kind of inside secrets on how you can tell who you're talking to. Are they, let's just say, are they full of shit? Or someone that you can trust. Really cool stuff. So anyway, I'm glad that I found the file. I apologize for the quality of my voice on the recordings. Robin's is crystal clear, and really that's all that matters, because you hear enough from me anyway. So that's it. That's the intro. Here it is. Get a real job. Thanks for listening. More coming up from our guests, but first, a word from our sponsor. Hey there, listeners, it's Dan. What day is it today? Is it Monday? Friday? Does it really matter? The relentless sameness of this pandemic is really getting to be relentless. It's the same thing day in, day out, whether it's work or sitting on a couch watching Netflix, or in particular, what we eat. I mean, I don't know about you, but we've been making the same recipes now for about a year, and as delicious as some of them are, I can't eat it one more time. You know, we're having the same things over and over and over. We really need to break out of this rut, and I have found the secret weapon to breaking out of this rut that we're all in, and it is HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh is a meal kit company that has absolutely rescued my family from complete boredom at the dinner table. Each week, they've got over 23 different recipes to choose from. It's a total range of flavors, cuisines, and ingredients, stuff I would have never in a million years have thought to make myself, but I have, and it's delicious, and it's actually pretty easy to make. It's just stuff you would never even think about doing in HelloFresh. You just go to the website. You're like, oh, that looks good. That looks good. That looks good. It's like a menu at a restaurant. You get the stuff sent to you. You all gather around. You make it yourselves. It's fun to do together, and it also tastes good, which is really, really the critical point here. Also, what I love about it, I go on these shopping trips to the grocery store, buy all the stuff. You know, by the end of the week, we're ordering pizza, or we're doing this or that. You know, all this stuff sits there, it goes bad, it gets rotten, we throw it out, we waste money. It's just wasteful, period. So HelloFresh shipping this stuff to me fresh and giving me instructions on how to cook it. It gets everybody excited to do that. It's a lot of fun, as I said. And also, it tastes good. That is the big point. It tastes good. And I am very excited to get you to try it, and particularly excited because HelloFresh has a pretty awesome deal for you. You go to HelloFresh.com/GetARealJob10 and use code GetARealJob10 to get 10 free meals, which includes free shipping. I'm going to repeat that because that is a pretty awesome offer and you definitely want to jot that down. So you go to HelloFresh.com/GetARealJob10 and use code GetARealJob10, all together, one word, to get 10 free meals, including free shipping. I highly encourage you to give this a shot. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit for a reason. It's delicious. It's fun. Get involved. Break this dinner time rut we're all in and bring a little joy to your life. We could all use some of that. And we're back.
I have to admit, Robin, that you're the first FBI agent that I've ever spoken to, and I'm a little nervous that I'm just going to start confessing things.
Well, good. You know, it's really good because you're starting out with full transparency, which is the greatest way in life to go. Because when you, you know, offer transparency and you demonstrate your insecurities, you know, openly, it engenders great trust. So what a great kickoff point. And
wow.
I'll tell you also, I'm also, you know, nervous all the time also because I'm generally a self-centered moron. So I always try to make sure I don't do that when I'm talking to people.
Well, two morons talking. This is going to be great.
Perfect.
That's fantastic. Well, far from a moron, actually. Robin Drake is the former head of the FBI's Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. And if that's not impressive enough, he's written two books. The new one is called Sizing People Up, a veteran FBI agent's user manual for behavioral prediction. So basically what this is a manual is to see, are people full of shit? Is that correct? Is that a good way to put it?
yes-ish is a good way to put it.
Yes-ish, okay.
You know, because there's definitely a few signs of predicting behavior, most notably probably the reliability one. You know, and that's the one where people say they can do a certain thing and they actually don't possess any skills that says they can actually do it.
Right.
So that might be the full of it one. But in reality, you know, people ask me a lot, you know, so where did this come from? Well, it's funny because, yeah, with that background, counterintelligence, behavioral analysis, you know, my job was recruiting spies. You'd think that I'd be the guy that's full of deception, manipulation, and subterfuge, but I am the 100% opposite of that. It's all about developing trust and healthy relationships. And this is actually an even deeper dive of how to understand other people. And so you can reasonably expect what they're going to do. So you can always manage your expectations and keep that strong relationship and or make choices not to keep engaging.
Well, so that's amazing. So there's a million amazing things you just said in that quick couple of sentences. And we'll get into all the information that you have in the book. But I did want to just start a little bit and just talk about your background. So like, I mean, this is called Get a Real Job. Being an FBI agent is a pretty real job, I would say. You know, not something weird or anything like that, but something that a lot of kids, including myself, like when you're little, go like, one day I want to be an FBI agent, but like you became one. So what was that road like?
It wasn't the path I had chosen. It's pretty funny, especially at, you know, being lucky enough and fortunate enough to be able to run our behavioral team on the counterintelligence side. People often ask me just like that, how did you get to be able to do that? And I said, that was easy. When I was in high school, I wanted to go to the Naval Academy and I did. Hey, it took me an extra year to get in, almost took me an extra year to get out.
Hey, Robin, one quick second. Let me had a hiccup with the recording. So pick it up from, me asking you, you know, what was that road like to becoming an FBI agent?
Sure. It was not the road that I had originally chosen. When I was in high school, we had a really good family friend who was a pilot for United Airlines, and he flew A4 Skyhawks off of an aircraft carrier in Vietnam. And his I Love Me room was so cool and amazing. I wanted to be a pilot. So from an early age, I wanted to go to the Naval Academy. And so it took me next year to get in, almost took me next year to get out. I wanted to be an aerospace engineer, Navy pilot, test pilot, and astronaut. And so people generally ask what happened. I said, well, it was pretty easy. I failed at all those things, failed out of aerospace, went Marine Corps. It was just a sideways adventure of trying to do the things I thought I wanted to do, but ultimately landing where I did, which was leadership. I always wanted to be a great leader. And, you know, that was, you know, you can't choose the path that you're given sometimes. We just make the most of it. So, and it's funny when you talk about, you know, most unusual jobs or something like that. My job in the FBI was recruiting spies primarily, which is I describe as the toughest sales job in the world.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, you're basically trying to convince people to betray their homeland, I guess. Is that a fair description?
So that's what people would think when you watch the movies and things.
Yeah.
But it's actually not. You know, so my job was to sell a product, and my product was American patriotism. And I'm trying to sell American patriotism to foreign spies, which 99% of the time they're under diplomatic cover at, you know, official establishments like embassies and consulates and things like that. So they're diplomats. And so I'm trying to sell a product to a foreign national that's a diplomat from a foreign country. So how often do you think they want to buy that product?
Right,
and
right.
Here's another challenge is it was illegal for me to actually initiate contact with them because they're foreign diplomats and I'm FBI. So I couldn't even walk up and approach them to try to sell my product. And so, you know, there's a couple big challenges in there. And in reality, it's just like when you try to sell any product to anyone or a service or interact, all you're trying to do is discover the other person's priorities, their needs, wants, dreams, and aspirations, and offer your resources in terms of those things. And so here's what makes human beings predictable. It's kind of the core of the book and kind of core of everything I understand of human beings. Everyone's very predictable. Everyone's always going to act in their own best interest in terms of their safety, security, and prosperity. But everyone defines that differently. So all I have to do is focus on you, figure out what you think is in your best interest in terms of safety, security, and prosperity, and I can offer you resources in terms of it, and you'll take it.
Huh. So, you know, and what you said earlier was like what we see in the movies. What we usually see in the movies is someone gets tricked into some compromising situation. Someone takes a picture of it and says, okay, you got to do this for me or I'm going to tell the world about this thing.
Yep.
And that doesn't seem to be what you did.
Never. And actually, some countries, you know, their methodology is using blackmail. You know, the Russians and their domestic security service called the FSB, they're famous for using blackmail and compromising things. I mean, that whole, you know, whether you believe it or not believe it, but the Russian dossier on Trump is all based on blackmail. Because that's what they did. But the challenge with using that methodology, though, is that the person you're engaging, their brain is never rewarding them positively for engaging with you. And so you're going to get a reluctant participant that's only going to give you 10% of their effort reluctantly if that's the way you go. So my mantra is always, I'd always rather have seven people, because when I retired, I had seven confidential human sources that were great American patriots. And I always say, I'd rather have seven people give me 120% of their effort willingly than 100 people give me 5% reluctantly. So, and how do you do that? It comes down to having a healthy, strong relationship, open, honest communication, transparency, and you make yourself an available resource for their success and prosperity without expectation of reciprocity. So there's no attempt at manipulation whatsoever.
So that's amazing. And, you know, it kind of leads me into a question that a lot of entrepreneurs face, which is like, you know, so say you're an investor and I've got this idea that I want to tell you about. You know, a lot of people worry, am I giving this guy my idea and he's just going to steal it from me? Is he telling me all these kinds of great things he could do for me, but he actually can't do any of those things? Like, how do you go about when you're in a situation like that? Like, how do you figure out whether or not you can trust somebody?
Wow. That is actually a spot on, really great question. It's actually the first I've been asked, you know, in that area of entrepreneurship. But the things I'm looking for, it's going to go right to some of the signs that I talk about. And the first one is, are they using a language that is about me more than themselves? In other words, in order to demonstrate value and affiliation with others, you need to seek their thoughts and opinions, talk in terms of their priorities, validate them without judging them, and then give them choices. And so I'm looking for someone to be doing that to me, because that's showing that they're, you know, interested in me more than themselves. And then what I'm also looking for at the same time is I'm looking for nonverbal congruence between their body language and their words. So I'm looking for high comfort body language that's demonstrating that they're very comfortable with making it about me. In other words, I'm looking for smiling. I'm looking for eyebrow elevation. I'm looking for ventral displays like palms up, head tilts, exposing the carotid artery. So I'm looking for very engaging body language instead of stress body language like eyebrow furrowing, lip compression, blocking, blading, pulling away. So I want lots of good congruence with language that's about me, as well as comfort when they're talking about me. And I also think in the terms of getting an investor, you know, you're looking for someone that's actually demonstrating both through their words and actions and past patterns of key behaviors, someone that's vested in your success as much as they are in their own. So they're talking in terms of those things. They're looking for longevity. So they, you know, so they're looking to establish traditions, milestones, and things like that with you. But also, you know, I think reliability comes into this too. In other words, do they have the competence to actually do the things they say they can do, and that, and do they have demonstrated diligence to follow through to get it done?
So all that stuff, I mean, that's pretty amazing that you're able to, you sort of have this checklist of things. And I wonder, you know, over the years that you've developed this checklist of things, you know, it makes me think of other behavioral programs at the FBI, most notably someone like John Douglas, who is studying serial killers. Like, do you approach things in the same way where you're looking for patterns in people?
So, yeah, I do have a sign that's called actions, which is past patterns and key behaviors, where what I'm doing is I do look for, you know, patterns where if I see someone do something, you know, once, twice, or three times a certain way, it's almost guaranteed they're going to do it four or five or six times the same way. But here's the difference between what Douglas's work and the behavioral analysis units do, the BAUs, you know, the criminal minds guys, the profilers, and what my team and I did. So what those guys were doing, they looked at great research, they conducted great research of abnormal psychology, abnormal human behavior to create ideal resumes of types of people that would commit the types of crimes that they were studying. So that way, when a new crime took place and they had what's called an unsub, someone they don't know who the subject is, they can look at the past patterns of those behaviors, that abnormal psychology, to kind of create an ideal resume or a profile of someone that might have committed that crime. So that way, when they're getting lots of information and leads in, it helps them filter it down so they can actually identify that individual. What my team did was very different in the sense that 99% of the time, I always knew who I was going to be talking to. And generally, when you're dealing in the world of counterintelligence, you're dealing with high intellectual, high level people that are either diplomats, clear defense contractors, you know, academics, you know, you're at a really high end. So generally, you are really, you know, dealing with that normal parameter of human behavior, although some individuals in life do edge up towards psychopathy. So that's a different thing. But generally, it's normal behavior. So and I was always strategizing, how can I create trust as fast as I can, make it about them and build a relationship. So that's what the difference between the two sides is.
So if I'm, you know, going back to that scenario where I'm pitching you an idea, you know, what would you tell me to do before I walked into that room to set myself at ease and to also be able to maybe pick up on some of these signs that, yes, this guy is someone, you know, worth listening to and, you know, maybe not?
I'd be looking for, again, I think the easiest thing to quickly assess is the language style. Are they seeking my thoughts and opinions? Are they talking in terms of my priorities or trying to discover what my priorities are? Are they, you know, validating me and my thoughts that I'm having? But even more importantly, though, you know, based on all these things, are they giving me choices in terms of my priorities? And so then I'm looking at the same time, you know, for the congruence of the nonverbal behavior, looking for those high comfort signs that, hey, you know, this is looking good. Now, I think another key here, because there's very few people that are experts in this area that tell you can detect deception, and I'm one of them. You cannot detect deception through nonverbal assessment alone. It takes statement analysis, and it's very challenging. You can detect stress, though, and stress looks the same nonverbally. But what you can do, though, is you can seek transparency. In other words, in that first few minutes of that meeting, you know, I'm a big proponent of you being transparent about your needs, wants, and your priorities. And what I'm seeking from the other person is that same kind of transparency. And if I have questions, they should be transparent with the answers. And if they're not, well, then we might have a little issue there. So that's what I'm always looking for. I'm always looking for transparency as the key.
And, you know, going back to you know, over the course of your career, you know, were there any people that you've kind of dealt with that really surprised you in how they behaved, you know, whether it was in a super positive way or in a super negative way? Or do you approach every person that you're approaching where I have no idea where this is going to go?
So I always go into every engagement as a positive. you know, because I know that everyone's got a strength and everyone's got priorities. My main job is to figure out what your strengths are so I can allow you to play to your strengths and also find out what your priorities are so I can offer resources so we can develop a relationship. Now, that being said, yeah, I have been shocked a few times where not shocked is a wrong word because, you know, I become very stoic in my cause and effect with human behavior and people. And so I'm never astonished at anything, but I probably say as I got more mature inside of working inside a government bureaucracy, you know, discovering that not everyone was 100% mission oriented and that there are actually a large number of people that are career oriented instead of being mission oriented, I'd say that was probably a revelation. And that took some adjustment to realize that, you know, you can't judge them for being career oriented if you want to make and build relationships, because ultimately you're going to need those people to approve the things that it is that you want to have done. So if you start judging them, they're never going to approve what it is you have to have done. So I say probably politically, internally to organizations, understanding that people's priorities might be different than mine is probably the most interesting one.
Right, right. So, you know, playing off of that, I think a fear that some people have is that, you know, they've surrounded themselves with yes men and yes women.
Sure.
And how do you, you know, are there any kind of tells? You described some tells of someone who is maybe not being forthcoming, but maybe someone who's disingenuous, who maybe doesn't have your back the way they are claiming to, or maybe they're just sort of giving you lip service, but they're not really going to do what they said they were going to do.
So there's actually a question I really enjoy a lot that whether it's during an interview process or whether it's actually, you know, once the team has been assembled or something like that. I think the most trustworthy people in the world, some of the most trustworthy and predictable people in the world are the ones that actually have full self-awareness of themselves, their strengths, as well as their weaknesses. And what I mean by this, like when I was interviewing people to come on my behavioral team, two facets I would, you know, I'd always ask for a resume, so they have to be qualified. And the other thing I always wanted to ask about what their strengths were. And so when I ask about your strengths, what I want to hear is I want to hear what your strengths are in terms of the priorities of the team. And so that's one facet that I'd be looking for if you're working in a group environment like that. But the really most important one is to see if they're going to be yes men or actually going to be transparent and honest is when I ask you what your weaknesses are, I want to know exactly what your weaknesses are with no insecurities about sharing them, but I also want to hear what your plan is that you do every day of your life to get better at them. Because that's someone who's actually very self-aware. And if they're self-aware and not insecure about that, they're going to tell me the truth.
Right, right. And of course, the person on the other end of that question is worried if they're too forthcoming, they're showing themselves to like not be so great. And, you know, then we worry that we've done ourselves a disservice. But I think you're right that no one ever, honesty is always appreciated almost across the board, right?
Yeah. And besides, if you tell me what your weaknesses are, but you ask, because everyone, so here's another guarantee of human behavior. You know, we're all always going to act in our own best interest in terms of safety, security, and prosperity. And all of us have insecurities. So we're all working on something. It's a guarantee. So you don't have to try to hide it, you know, from people that are self-aware. Just, hey, say what it is. But if you have a plan for it, hell, I can teach a monkey to flip a switch. You know, I need people that I know I can trust because they're going to be completely transparent, because what's transparency gets you situational awareness. And how do you move forward in anything is with situational awareness.
That's great. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, your transition from the FBI to, you know, writing this book and doing talks that you've done. You know, what's that transition been like? And, you know, as we've seen a lot in the news, you know, some FBI agents, special agents or leaders in the FBI have
a lot of
public attention. And, you know, is there any kind of push and pull with that? Where am I giving away secrets or, you know, how has that gone for you?
Pretty easy for me. You know, I've been writing. So I self-published a book back in 2010, you know, about 8 years before I retired. And, you know, so I was used to the process of that. I started speaking outside the Bureau since that period as well. So the FBI allowed me to do it. I had to go through all the process every year for pre-publication review and authorizations. So I've been doing this for quite a while. But the great thing is, you know, once you personally have good, healthy, strong relationships, you know, they can be impacted by other people doing dumb things, but really people generally take you account for yourself. You know, like I have, you know, the FBI has its brand, but also I have my brand.
And right.
So I always try to rely on my brands, you know. And when it comes to my executives, you know, the big thing I don't do is I don't take a political side. All I'll tell you is that if you lie and you're in law enforcement, you should be fired. That's
right.
It.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
It's just that simple. You lie, you just can't, because if you lie and are allowed to stay employed, then what's that do to credibility if you go to court? You can't do it.
Right. Interesting. Yep. And what's your, what is your writing process like? How did you sit down and bang out this book? Some people find that to be a struggle. Does it come naturally to you?
Yes and no. So I wrote my first one on my own, and that's a mere 25,000 words. And that took me about 9 months to kind of keep that organized and straight in my head. You know, I had the content. You know, I have a good friend of mine, Joe Navarro, retired FBI agent, wrote the book, What Everybody Is Saying, world-renowned nonverbal expert, was on my behavioral team with me. And he has a mantra. And so he's the one to push me to write. And his mantra was, if you have at least one piece of information that another human being could benefit from, shame on you for not sharing it. And so he's a big proponent of me publishing. And so he pushed me to do the first one. And really the first one came about because someone asked me to do a podcast and say, hey, how do you develop quick rapport? So I came up with these 10 steps to quick rapport and I made it a book. The next one, The Code of Trust, came about because all these books are progressions of my understanding of human beings. And so with rapport, after you have good, solid rapport, you're actually going to then have trust. So the next one was Code of Trust. And so what I found is that the process was, the deeper you look into someone, the deeper to try to understand them, so you could inspire trust and inspire healthy relationship. I started noticing, wow, human beings are starting to get really predictable. And so hence sizing people up was born, because you start realizing, wow, you know, if you really pay a lot of very close attention to other people's needs and priorities, you start understanding what they're going to do in most actions throughout the day.
That's great. And I've read a lot of this book. I'm not going to lie to you and say that I read it cover to cover yet, but I will.
It's okay. There's a lot of information.
There's a lot of great information in here, and there's a lot of stuff that will make you think back over the course of your life and be like, oh, so that's what was going on there. So I really recommend anyone interested in the people around them to pick this up. It's called Sizing People Up. You could pretty much buy it anywhere. So, Rob and Drake, I want to thank you for taking the time. For everyone in the audience listening, thank you for all your service through the years.
Thank you. It's been my great pleasure and honor in my entire life, no doubt. Thank you.
That's our episode, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Get a Real Job comes out every Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you harvest your favorite podcasts. Leave us a review. Give us a share. Don't make me beg, people. Go to entrepreneur.com for new episodes of this and to listen to our other great podcasts. Thanks.